Does technology make us more alone?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yes, yes, it does. Those lonely nights alternating between Bumble and Tinder, and you just keep swiping. You know the feeling? You guys know what I'm talking about. You just keep swiping, right? Right. You do it on Tinder for about 20 minutes. Occasionally, okay, there's a fat girl. And you just can't hit.
Airing every day.
From noon to 3.
And it does make you contemplate life as you sit there. And you say, well, this is depressing. I'll go check Twitter. And it's just all hatred on there. Go to Facebook. Oh, my grandma had liposuction. That's nice. Yeah, check out this. You go to Instagram. You see all the babes there. Like, man, wouldn't I love to live that life? You think about what it would be like if one of those Instagram models just accidentally swiped right on you for once. Go to Snapchat. Oh, got a new one. New notification. That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. And happy Easter to you, too.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
So, yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly and enjoy it with me tonight. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick me up a 12-pack of Truly and just sit on the couch and watch football and basketball and send some tweets. That's what I'm going to do. All from the warmth and comfort of my own couch, Cody McClure. Or I might go with 2 6-packs of the Wild Berry. I might try that.
Two six-packs?
Yeah, because sometimes I get the 12-pack of the mixed berries, and I'm like, I like this flavor, love this flavor, like this flavor. This one I'm not crazy about, but I love the wild berry, so maybe I'll just pay a dollar extra, and boom, have 12 of what the ones I really, really love. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the grocery store after the show and get 2 6-packs of the wild berry. Or cherry. I think it's the wild cherry.
You can do that if you want.
And I'm going to send you text messages all throughout the game. Saying I wouldn't be able to do this if I was at the game. Signal wouldn't be good enough. What do you think about this play, Cody? I'm going to tag in tweets. Cody, what do you think about this? Cody.
I'll block you.
You block me, I'll block you, and I'm not unblocking you, buddy.
I won't unblock you either.
I'm not going to do like that little cute little song and dance you and Tanner Carson did where each blocked each other and then became friends again.
I was not going to unblock Tanner.
You did, though.
Tanner blocked me. I kept him blocked for a good couple months.
Yeah. No, you did. It was like 2 weeks.
It was – well, he apologized. He came
That's
up
fine. There's no apology with me.
He came up
if
to
I
me like
you,
a man
if
and
I
he
block
said, I'm
you,
sorry.
If I block you, you're blocked. You block me, I block you back, and then you're not getting unblocked.
I wouldn't want to be.
Okay.
What would I want to see?
Hour two headlines.
You think I need to see those tweets?
Cody.
I won't get to read about Trey Young anymore. So what?
Your loss. Your lost camel tag.
Please don't disrespect the name of Trey Young.
Yeah, why are you bringing Trey Young into this? Just give us some hour two headlines.
All right, thanks, John. Gino Auriemma is Gino Auriemma. He's the head coach of UConn women's basketball, and he has suggested that Avena Westbrook, who played for the Lady Vols and then was going to transfer to UConn, she was in a bad environment at Tennessee. Her waiver was denied. That's what happened. The NCAA denied her waiver to come play immediately for UConn. Gino Auriemma said, if you knew what the environment was at Tennessee, you would not want your kid in that environment. Gino Auriemma says Avena Westbrook was in an environment that wasn't necessarily healthy at Tennessee, and he suggested that Philip Fulmer did not support her getting a waiver to play right away. Asked him what he meant by an unhealthy environment from Joe Rexroad to the Tennessean. Gino Auriemma replied, I really can't go into that.
Okay.
But apparently he suggested that Philip Fulmer did not support Avena Westbrook's transfer. Said a lot of campuses should shut down their programs if that's normal. That's basically what they're saying. Say something else. Say anything. Don't say that's normal.
All it took was the Lady Vols winning one ranked game, and we're back, baby. UConn sweating. UConn's hurting. They're trying to take shots at Tennessee. Are we coming back for the throne? They don't even have the throne. They haven't won the championship the last couple of years, right? Is Geno done?
I think
they're. Does Geno like Nick Saban? Does he know that his run is over? It's a wrap?
Maybe their window has closed.
Maybe.
Finally.
All right. Closed.
I hope so. That's what we can all hope for, so that we can all get back to enjoying a good competitive game of women's basketball.
We don't know what's going on with the Avino Westbrook stuff, right? Like, have there been any rumors or anything about what's
happening?
Well,
wasn't she the one that criticized Holly and the coaching staff and basically said they needed a change of leadership? And she was right.
Yeah, she was right.
Yeah, she was. But I don't know. She ruffled some feathers. I guess Geno ruffled some feathers.
Okay.
You know.
But there hasn't been like an official
why the
here's what happened type of thing.
Why they denied it?
Yeah,
I don't know. They usually don't even give good reasons.
No, I didn't know there's any rumors of what happened, what was going on here. Anyways, whatever.
I don't know. Like, they need her to play immediately.
She's a baller, ain't she?
Well, yeah, she's a baller. Yeah, I wish we still had her. Anyway.
Yeah, we lost our leading scorer, right? To ACL injury?
I don't know, but this Raniah Davis girl, she was the one that she balled out against Notre Dame.
Yeah, but it was weird because me as a Lady Vols expert, I noticed that she didn't score a lot in her first two games. She had like 4 and 7. And then
she
all of a sudden had 30.
When she needed
all of a sudden had 30 and 10. So like, I don't know if that's a thing that can happen all the time. I want to say she's only like 6'2", so it was weird to see her grab.
She's only 6'2"?
I mean, I feel like is that tall in women's basketball?
I don't know. That seems tall.
Is that tall in women's basketball? I feel like post players in women's basketball are still like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, I think they still get like 6'5", because most of the guards are around 6 foot.
Yeah.
I've never seen a woman that tall.
I mean, how tall is Candace Parker? Isn't she like 6'5", 6'4"?
Well, she's a special person, you know.
I mean, we're recruiting high-level athletes still. Like, that's not the problem here.
Yeah, I know. We've got talent, which that's kind of what makes
Candace is 6'4".
Okay, that's what I was thinking, 6'4". But she wasn't even like a traditional post player. I mean, she was more of a...
kind of hopeful. After that win over Notre Dame, because we got talent on the roster.
Well, anyways, like I was saying, I saw that we lost our leading scorer to a ACL injury.
Yeah, well, we'll see how things play out. Oh, yeah, that just happened last night, didn't it? That came across.
I think I saw it on the ticker last night, but yeah.
What's her name?
I don't know. I don't know what her name is.
I'll see if I can find it, and I'll have it in headlines.
Okay, please do.
See what happens. Garth Brooks is allowing UT students to come and watch the sound check for free in Neyland Stadium. Not you.
Not me.
Not you.
Not me.
But UT students can come to Neyland Stadium and watch the sound check for free.
I wouldn't go for free.
Well, you wouldn't be invited. You'd have to enroll in classes again. But students at UT will have the chance to watch it for free.
Many times I get worried that I still have a class I have to take.
How are they checking
that? That happens all the time. You have that dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that dream all the time.
Then I'm like, I got my degree. And then I'm like, when I wake up, I'm like, actually, I don't even need my degree. Who cares? Like, I'm just like, so what if I'm missing a class? Don't care.
Sometimes I wake up.
Here's my degree. Back-to-back best local radio personality in Knoxville. Here's my degree. Here's the only degree that matters. Don't invite me back to speak to the class, UT. Whatever, I don't care. Don't invite me back.
You don't care. You're just bringing it up.
Yeah, don't invite me back.
You wouldn't even go.
As I'm holding it down. I don't need an invite. I wouldn't come anyways. I wouldn't go anyways. I don't need an invite.
You wouldn't go speak to a class if they
asked
you to?
Nope. Not now. Not at this point.
You sound kind of bitter that you were never asked.
Just kind of feel like it is bad on UT. I mean, like, hey, we're trying to find, should we just get random news guy to come speak to the class or someone who's a two-time award winner?
Maybe you
out
should
here
reach
carving
out to
out a, carving out a legacy.
Maybe you should reach out to them.
I'm not reaching out to them to ask them to invite me. That's
not happening.
Sounds
like you really want to speak to a class.
I don't. I wouldn't go. I'm saying I feel disrespected.
You would go.
I'm waiting. I don't know why. I've never gotten a call from them asking for money either.
I have.
I've never have. I don't know why. Maybe I just don't answer the phone, but they don't leave voicemails.
Are you sure you graduated?
I got a degree. They sent it. I picked it up. I think I graduated.
Got the diploma and everything?
Got the diploma, yeah.
Yeah, you should be good. I figure once they give you that, it's pretty much wrapped up at that point, isn't it?
Nah, as far as I'm concerned, they've never even called asking for money. I'm waiting for them to ask me for money because I'm going to be like, no, you're not getting a dime. You don't appreciate me and all my hard work. Quite frankly, You can go to hell is what I'll tell them.
You won't tell them that.
I might. Depends on how the person on the... Well, there's a thing there. Like, the person
it's
on the phone...
It's usually some girl. Yeah. Some college girl.
Or a guy. I think it's a guy, too. I think it's equally. And sometimes, like, they... You know, they aren't the ones disrespecting me, so, like, I probably wouldn't be mean to them. You're right.
Hi. Hi, this is Anna Grace. I'm calling you to see if you could donate some money back to UT.
Yeah, you got some nerve, Anna Grace. You've got some nerve. Sidney Crosby's going to miss 6 weeks with a rib injury. Breaking news.
The sound check is on Friday at 7 p.m. if any of you students would like to go see it. Not you. What were you saying? Breaking news?
I'm surprised. Is that weird that the sound check's the night before? Or
no? I don't know.
But the sound check's probably the day of. I don't know. I'm not a musician.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you say the breaking news was?
Sidney Crosby's out 6 weeks.
With a core muscle surgery? Yeah. He'd have to have a core muscle surgery?
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Who's he playing for now?
I imagine he's still with the Penguins. Those hockey guys stay with their team for a long time.
I see. Several executives with teams reached out as a courtesy to Colin Kaepernick's representatives, saying they could not attend Saturday's workout. They were confused by the purpose of the NFL scheduling this workout, said Adam Schefter.
And, like, it's a Saturday. People are traveling for games. That's why Colin Kaepernick's people are like, hey, can we do it on a Tuesday, maybe? Can we do a Tuesday, please? And they're like, nope. And I'm like, all right, I guess. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
It's a joke.
It's all a joke. It's a joke. Life is a joke.
That's true.
Clippers coach Doc Rivers was ejected last night to the delight of his own son, his own blood, Austin Rivers.
His own flesh and blood sold him out.
Doc was ejected for arguing with official Tony Brothers at half court on Wednesday. His son, Houston Rockets guard Austin Rivers, was laughing at him, and he signaled for the officials to give his father a technical foul. Austin Rivers just making the tee to his dad, making the tee.
That's pretty fun.
As Doc Rivers, yeah, that was funny. I enjoyed that. As he was walking off the floor, Austin Rivers appeared to thoroughly enjoy the moment. He celebrated by waving on the Houston fans to cheer louder before motioning to his father to call him by pretending to hold a phone to his ear.
Call me.
Yeah.
Did you see what he tweeted?
Said Thanksgiving's going to be awkward now, right?
Weird. Yeah. He said it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. The Rockets won 102-93.
I don't know if you remember, but that was one of the games I gave you in our My Bookie read yesterday.
I don't remember that. I remember the Portland game, though.
I said Rockets. I'll take the Rockets.
And Raptors.
But I said my big play of the night, the one I really feel good about, is the Raptors. +2.5, +3 against Portland. I don't know if you saw, Cody, but they won.
Yes.
Comfortably.
Yes. Well, congratulations.
Kind of feel like the Raptors might win the East again. Even without Kawhi Leonard, that was my takeaway last night watching. I was looking, I was kind of like, Raptors, they got some dogs on this team. And Siakam has taken a leap. Kind of think we all roll off the Raptors a little too quick.
You dumping the Sixers off?
I'm about ready to dump the Sixers. Let's do a little NBA segment next. Do you care? We'll do NBA, then fantasy, then turn left. Then we'll do headlines, then we'll do another segment, and we'll do this or that. We good with that schedule?
Yeah, that's fine.
You don't sound happy about it.
No, that works for me.
Do something different?
No, that sounds good.
Would you rather us do NFL Browns Steelers next, fantasy, turn left, headlines, NBA, this or that? Would you rather do that?
How about you decide? You're the direction guy here.
Well, I know, but I need you somewhat engaged. Cam looks sleepy over there. He can't stay awake.
Cam had a long night. I'll be engaged.
Which one do you want?
Whatever you want to do.
Say I do. Say yes. Which one?
Yes.
I'm down on my knees.
Yes.
On one knee. Not both. It's a proposal. Not a favor.
It's talk NBA. Yeah, sure.
Let's do NFL next. That way we can go.
South Park mocked trans athletes last night.
I thought it was a season finale last week.
I did too. And then I saw they sent me my weekly reminder. They said, at Cody, South Park here, we have an episode tonight.
Was it just like maybe – was it the last bit of Tegrity Weed? Like, was that the
– No, it's a whole different thing, mocking trans athletes.
Yeah, so maybe they're just like, we're done with the Tegrity Weed kind of story.
Yeah, Randy wasn't even in the episode last night.
Maybe that was what was going on there.
Spoiler alert. It was a pretty good episode.
I remember we talked about it. I guess like six episodes. They just really
they had you know, Strong Woman and PC Principal. Mm-hmm. Strong Woman is like
the big PC Principal guy.
Yeah, well they have PC babies, you know, and they cry every time there's an injustice.
Obviously.
Well they were having a Strong Woman competition, and Strong Woman, she was the favorite. And then all of a sudden, this I would call it like a kind of a Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage character comes in.
Okay.
And he's a transgender athlete, and he's just been identifying as transgender now for about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And he comes in and dominates the competition. And I won't give out any more details because, you know, spoilers, but let's just say I think it was pretty funny.
Let's just say it was funny.
And it upset a lot of people on the internet.
Okay.
So which is typically the goal of South Park. So watch it for yourself.
Brown Steelers. We'll talk about that next. All eyes are going to be on the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. Baker Mayfield in primetime again. We're going to get something good out of it, right? Either the Browns win and we get a good game, or the Browns are a train wreck and we get more Baker blow-ups, and maybe this will be the night where Odell Beckham Jr. punches him in the face. Steelers on fire, 1-4 in a row. They go on the road, divisional game, big game. This would be the elimination game, basically, for the Browns if they lose. The Steelers can continue their climb for a wild card spot and to maybe kind of have a chance to chase down the Ravens. I doubt it, but at least position themselves for a wild card. Did you want to do NBA instead?
I'm fine with the Steelers and Browns.
It's insane thing, so I was wondering. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I think that this game is probably more important for the Steelers in terms of continuing their momentum and getting to the AFC wild card.
See, I think it's more important for the Browns just because like they already have six losses. If they lose, they're done for.
I feel like they're done anyway, though.
You don't think they have a chance to rally to get to 9-7? Because I feel like they can rally to get to 9-7.
Absolutely not.
I think they have that option. Do I think they do it? No. But
they're 3-6, right?
They're 3-6, but we've looked at their schedule. Like they have a fairly navigable schedule.
But that would mean they'd go 6-1.
After tonight, Dolphins at Steelers, Bengals at Cardinals, home for the Ravens, a team they beat 45-20, and at Bengals.
I say they lose 3. That's after tonight?
After tonight. So they
say they lose to the Steelers, the Cardinals, and the Ravens, at least.
Okay.
I don't think there's any chance they could go 6-1.
I think I said 45-20. It was actually 40-25 on that earlier game where they smacked the Ravens. Yeah.
Scoregami. The Ravens are not going to let that happen again.
Just something to keep an eye on, though, because that schedule's pretty easy, right? I mean, after tonight, they could be 4-6. Dolphins win at Steelers, probably loss. Home for the Bengals, win at the Cardinals. I think that's a win. And then basically your season's going to come down to you'll be 7-7, home game against the Ravens at Bengals. If you win both, you'll be 9-7 and maybe have a shot. Even at 9-7, you're not guaranteed to get there, but you would have two head-to-head wins over the Ravens, so maybe at that point you'd have a shot at the division with the tiebreaker if the Ravens kind of come back to earth a little bit.
Personally, I think they are done.
Okay.
The Steelers are 5-4, so the Steelers have a two-game advantage on them, and I think this game is much, much more important for Pittsburgh.
A two-game advantage with versus them with two games against them remaining, though, which I think is important.
Yeah, that's important, but to me, the Browns have no chance of beating the Steelers twice. They could get a win tonight. I mean, they probably don't think their season's over. It's still a big game for them, but I think it's much more important for the Steelers and much more likely that the Steelers continue to go on this run.
Is the AFC North still up for grabs, or is that the Ravens?
Well, it's there's a what a two game difference there.
A two game difference, but like I feel like the Ravens' schedule's pretty tough. Like them winning that game against the Patriots is probably gonna lock it up, but they got the Texans this weekend at the Rams, 49ers at the Bills, Jets at the Browns, Steelers. So they still got some work to do to get to 10 wins.
Yeah, you know, we all kind of wrote off Pittsburgh, but I mean, they've won five of their last six.
They have. Have we written them off too quickly? Because I'm writing them off tonight, too. I think the Browns win tonight.
Well, if you look at Pittsburgh losses, though, the teams
their
they
first
lost
three
to,
good losses are good. Where were they? Patriots, well, so the, Seahawks, and 49ers. That was their first three losses.
Yeah, and the other one's the Baltimore. So they've lost to maybe the four best teams in the NFL.
Maybe.
That may be their four losses. And all of them were close besides the New England blowout in week one.
Now, I will say that 49ers game I kept up with closely, and that was the 49ers fumbled and turned the ball over three times, like, and just kept giving Pittsburgh short fields. Like, they tried to give that game away, so the final score is a little bit deceiving in terms of them going head-to-head with them. But either way, like you said, it's just a loss. Like,
well,
we're not even talking about it being close. We're just saying you lost. Your four losses are to, you know, four teams that should be – in the playoffs.
Maybe. I think maybe the four best teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
So, you know, and I know the Seattle game was close.
Top four teams we had in our power rankings, right?
Yeah. And the Seattle game was a two-point loss. The Baltimore loss was an overtime. So we wrote them off because they were 1-4. At the time, I don't think anybody realized how good Baltimore and San Francisco really were. They've now won five of their last six. They've beaten the two LA teams. They've beaten the Colts. I mean,
this is a
you
huge
know.
Game for Pittsburgh. I don't, man, like the AFC North must have just had a tougher like schedule at the beginning because even the AFC North, and maybe it helps whenever you see the Bengals on there twice. Like most of these teams are playing the Bengals, but like the Steelers at Browns, at Bengals, Browns at Cardinals, Bills at Jets, at Ravens. I mean, the Jets stink. I think the Cardinals are not good. The Bengals stink, so there's three wins there. Pittsburgh should already have eight. Yeah, if they can beat the Browns and split against the Bills and Ravens, they could find themselves at nine wins pretty easily.
Pittsburgh should get to the playoffs. They should. I think they'll still contend for the division, and I think that more likely they'll be an AFC wildcard contender. But this is I maintain this is bigger for Pittsburgh. I'm not taking Cleveland serious anymore. I'm done with Cleveland.
I'm going to give Cleveland one more shot tonight, and I do think Cleveland wins tonight.
Really?
I do think Cleveland wins tonight. I'm just not taking Mason Rudolph on the road. And if you look at their wins,
they have not been on the they beat the Chargers on the road.
Yeah, but that was on the road in the sense that it was just in LA, but there were 85% Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And Pittsburgh travels, don't get me wrong, like they can go take over any stadium, but we all know the Chargers are the most susceptible. I'll be interested to see what type of crowd there is tonight, primetime in Cleveland. Like, can Pittsburgh get 30, 40% of the fans in there? Maybe. But as much as we talked about the good losses Pittsburgh has had, Cody, have you seen their wins?
They've beaten the two LA teams, the Colts, and then the Dolphins and the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's three decent wins, though. I mean, two easy wins, but three decent.
Two easy wins. They beat Brian Hoyer because Adam Vinatieri shanked a field goal.
That's on Adam Vinatieri.
It's on Brian Hoyer, too. So, I mean, like they beat Brian Hoyer. We saw what the Colts are of Brian Hoyer. They lost to the Dolphins. So, I'll call that three easy wins.
Okay. If you want to call it that, it's fine.
Now, the Pittsburgh defense, like, we laughed at them for trading for Minkah Fitzpatrick, but that defense has been really, really good since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. And they got T.J. Watt, who I don't think is going to be able to do enough to get Defensive Player of the Year, but he'll be on the ballot, right? Like, he'll be in the top five probably. He's been really, really good.
Minkah Fitzpatrick has been a game changer in these games.
Both Minkah and T.J. Watt should be in the consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. I just think the Bosa brothers are going to have a big lead on both of them.
Who needs J.T. Watt when you can get T.J. Watt? And the games.
Who is J.T. Watt? Who is J.T. Watt?
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Who needs J.J. Watt when you can have T.J. Watt?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay, I was just curious.
Obviously, that's who I was talking about.
Well, you looked really confused even after I asked you.
I could not think of his
okay.
actual name.
Okay.
The games that they've won.
His actual name is JJ, right? Surely he's got like.
It usually stands for something.
Yeah,
like maybe it's Jumpin' Jack.
I doubt it's Jumpin' Jack what?
Jumpin' Jack what?
Maybe, although they do like to work out. I was going to guess something like John Jacobs.
I have always hated names that are like that.
Like, short names?
Like the two letters and then the name. I've always hated that. Like JJ, TJ, JR, CJ, stuff like that.
Justin James.
I've always hated the two-letter names like that.
I mean, what would have been wrong with just going with Justin?
Yeah, do you need the James?
Well, I just mean his middle name. I mean, most people have middle names. I just mean like him having to go JJ.
It'd be like me calling myself CM McClure. What a stupid name that would be.
CM McClure actually sounds pretty cool.
TJ's name is Trent Jordan.
I feel like you got to have a J in there.
I feel like CM McClure is pretty damn good. But maybe because absolutely. I just have an old friend on the farm, this old man named CM, and he's kind of cool.
Do I seem like him, though?
No, you don't. But he's cool. He's always wearing a cowboy hat, carrying around a bunch of money. Every time I go to the casino, he's at the blackjack table for some reason. He's like, oh, hey. And I'm
every
like,
time
hey.
You go, he's
every
there.
Time I'm good. Every time I'm there, he's there.
Maybe he lives there.
No, I just think we go at the same time. I don't think he lives there because I see him sometimes in Sweetwater, too. His name's CM, and it's cool. Cool Man McClure is what we'd call you. Can we start calling you CM McClure? At least try it out.
I don't think it works.
I make a motion. Cam, do you accept it? All right, let's take a vote.
I'll talk to CM.
I'm in favor of it. Raise your hand if you're in favor of changing Cody's name to CM McClure.
Nay.
Two majority rules here. We got two versus
nay.
One.
Nay.
Overruled. Sorry. It's in action. For the rest of the week, you will be CM. CM McClure. Congratulations.
I don't want to be that.
I'm sorry, CM. That's just the way it's got to be.
You'll forget
it. You can't decide your own nickname.
You're going to forget it. You'll both forget about this.
I'll be able to make it at least through the week. No, I'll be able to make it through the week, CM.
You'll forget about it by tomorrow. There's 2 days left.
That's the point.
Today and Friday.
I will be able to remember one more day, CM McClure.
I guarantee you will not say it tomorrow. You will have forgotten.
How much do you want to bet?
Well, now that
you have made your bed, buddy, you're
going
to lie in it.
Well, now that I proclaim it, now you're going
to
try to...
I'm going to go out of my way to call you CM McClure as many times as I can until the rest of the world calls
you
CM McClure. You
won't remember it next week.
I will, too. When do I forget things? You don't think I'm organized? Think my memory is bad? I feel like I got a pretty good memory.
No, you do. You do.
I'm going to remember.
But it's just
you're
not
CM McClure.
It's not something you'll keep going.
You just wait till hour three headlines, CM McClure. You're about to be on a collision course.
Don't call me that. You make me sound old when you call me that.
It wouldn't work for me. If I could go by that, I would. But I J.M. Reed.
J.R. Reed.
Well, my middle name's Marcus.
J.M.
Yeah, it doesn't sound cool.
J.M. would not...
I mean, JM by itself is all right.
CM doesn't sound good.
CM doesn't sound as good by itself, but with the McClure, it sounds really cool.
I think you need a J no matter what. If you're going to do the two-letter name, you got to have a J.
CM's good. CM McClure. Wow. It sounds like a trucking company, too.
That does sound like a trucking company. That sounds exactly like a trucking company.
CM McClure coming to pick up
your
freight.
Call me JB Hunt.
Yeah. That sounds like a trucking company, too. We'll talk some fantasy next. Send in your questions. We'll get to them. Congratulations to Vaughn. All right, let's talk some fantasy. It's getting down to the crunch time for a lot of people. You know, I'm in like five leagues that I really care about, and two of those leagues I'm 4-6, so it's kind of make or break time for me in those leagues. Need a big week. I know a lot of people are in that same situation in terms of needing something to go well this week. You can't really afford any more losses. Let's start. We got a female fantasy question coming in. Don't get too excited, Cody. She's just wanting to know if you would play Matt Ryan, who didn't practice today against the Panthers, or yesterday he didn't practice against the Panthers, or Carson Wentz against the Patriots.
What do you mean, don't get too excited?
Just said a fantasy question coming from a girl. Didn't want you to get too excited.
There's no women in the NFL.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Matt Ryan, Cam, who didn't practice against the Panthers, or Carson Wentz against the Patriots?
I'm still playing Matt. I think it was more precautionary why he didn't practice.
You are a Falcons expert, so this is – if I tell this girl the wrong answer, this is on you.
They're just giving him a rest because he was coming off an injury and he played this past week. So
just a little low management.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just giving him a break from that because, you know, he knows the offense. They don't really necessarily need him in there at practice. And, I mean, when he's played, he's been pretty good this year. So I'd probably still stick with him. And, yeah, they're running a third-string running back starting this week. So I think they're going to be passing a little bit. They'll try and get the run game going again, but it's going to come down to Matt Ryan again. So,
and let's keep in mind, I got Carson Wentz in a couple of my leagues. I have him benched. I'm not playing him against the Patriots secondary. Like, let's not forget the Patriots secondary is still a really big problem.
It is first in the league against the pass.
And the Eagles, when they have had some success offensively, it's really them kind of pounding the ball all of a sudden. They've been running a lot with Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard and kind of figuring things out on that end. All right, David asks, Carlos Hyde or Marlon Mack? Do we have an update on Jacoby Brissett? Is he playing?
I think he's supposed to play.
Okay. Either way, don't imagine he'll be 100%. Marlon Mack is going to get a big workload, but that also means there's going to be people in the box. T.Y. Hilton, is he in or out? What's T.Y. Hilton's latest?
I haven't seen an update on him.
Let me get an update on T.Y. Hilton, Cam, if you can, because, let's see, the Texans play Baltimore.
Colts play Jaguars.
This is kind of close, in my opinion. I would probably go with... I think in this situation, I'm going to recommend going with the better offense. I think Houston will be having more scoring opportunities than I think the Colts will. You might need a touchdown from Carlos Hyde to make it a good day. I'm not excited about either one of these guys, but I would give my personal recommendation. I would start Carlos Hyde just because I think this offense is going to move the ball more than I do think the Colts will against the Jaguars.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton is unlikely to return.
And that's not good for the Colts. And that might mean Marlon Mack gets more touches, but it also means there's going to be more people in the box. Deshaun Watson will be able to spread out the Ravens and, like I said, move the ball a little bit better, maybe get some goal line opportunities. My official recommendation, Carlos Hyde. Cam, you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I think coming off the bye, Houston will probably have a pretty good game plan and try and get the backs involved because they do want to keep that pressure off Deshaun Watson with that offensive line being, you know, what it is. So, yeah, and like you said, they're going to load the box and make either Brissett or, if it ends up being Hoyer, throw the ball.
Marlon Mack doesn't catch enough passes.
Not too.
In my opinion, Marlon Mack doesn't get the ball enough in the passing game to really save his value. Because some of these running backs just have value that they're going to catch passes. You'll be able to save some days just because of that. All right, next one up. Let's look and see. We got Dustin asks, would you play James Conner tonight against the Browns or Leonard Fournette or Austin Eckler? Pick one. I would probably, let's see, Cleveland is the 10th best against running backs in fantasy football, but James Conner kind of represents what we were talking about with Marlon Mack. James Conner does get the pass catches. He does get the dump downs, especially this year with no Big Ben. They throw the ball to the running back a lot, so I do think you could pencil in James Conner for almost 15, 16, 17, 18 points. So I think we'll get to at least 15, at least, because he'll have six catches tonight. Six catches for 40 yards is at least what he's getting through the passing game. Who does Austin Eckler and the Chargers play? They play the Chiefs?
Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, which sounds...
defense, but...
It sounds promising, but I would say that I would expect a much bigger game from Melvin Gordon than Austin Eckler.
I agree.
Gordon ran really well last Thursday against the Raiders, and as you saw Derrick Henry run for a buck 80 against the Chiefs, you need to run the ball, pound the ball. I would expect Melvin Gordon to have a bigger game. Fournette and the Jaguars play the Colts. I think right now the Colts are the 12th toughest defense against opposing running backs. So I think my official recommendation, I would go with James Conner tonight. Just because of the pass game. He said it's PPR, I'd go there.
I agree, too. And with Jacksonville, with Nick Foles coming back, I think they're going to test him and try and make him beat them, throwing the ball, see if he's a little rusty coming back from injury. So they'll probably load the box against Fournette there. The Colts will.
Jarvis Landry or James White. Patriots got the Eagles. Jarvis Landry tonight against the Steelers. Jarvis Landry's turned into Baker Mayfield's go-to receiver, which he was last year already. They kind of got away from that earlier this year because they just couldn't figure out what to do when it came to the passing game. But the last couple weeks, Jarvis Landry, 10 targets, 9 catches, 97 yards and a touchdown. 13 targets, 6 catches, 51 yards and a touchdown. Against New England, 10 targets, 5 catches, 65 yards. So last 3 weeks, and he's gotten double-digit targets in every week. He's Baker's go-to guy. I think I would go with Jarvis Landry over James White.
I agree. You can't argue with that volume. Like, he's getting opportunities for sure. So, especially if it's PPR, for sure. That's if he gets 8 of those 10 targets. That's what you want to see.
Patriots defense or the Vikings? Who you got? Who the Vikings play this week? The Vikings play.
They Denver. Play
Denver.
Denver.
That's a tough one. I would probably. I'd probably still go with the Patriots.
Starting a new quarterback.
That's true. Yeah, go with the Vikings defense. Yeah, although he looked good.
Projected.
He lit up. 10. Yeah, he lit up Cleveland's. He lit up Cleveland's defense when he played. Now, obviously, Vikings a little bit better. I would probably still go with the Patriots defense. That was a top 20 player before Baltimore.
Yeah.
I think I'm still starting them. They need to show another week that they aren't elite before I start benching them.
The Patriots defense?
With a top 20 player heading into the Baltimore game.
Yeah, you should never not start them.
That's what I would think. John writes in, my friend thinks his level 38 elf should outrank my level 33 enchanted wizard. Would casting the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress be a proper response? Cam, yes or no?
I think so. I think that's what you'd have to do there. Yeah, you definitely got to cast that spell.
Got to cast. So you say to cast the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress. That's a proper response.
Yes, but don't take my advice with more than a grain of salt.
Oh, so he doesn't sound very confident in it. Cody, is that a proper response? Should he cast?
What's the question?
His friend thinks his level 38 elf should outrank his level 33 enchanted wizard, which he's 5 levels higher. But an elf should not outrank a wizard within 10 levels, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think an enchanted wizard would always outrank an elf, even with the 5-spot difference there.
So would you cast the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress just to kind of send a message?
I would. I would go ahead and cast that spell.
I think I would show
on
a little,
his dragon?
Yeah.
Where is his dragon?
His fortress. His fortress. His dragon. Yeah, he wants to cast a spell on his dragon enchantress.
On his own dragon.
No, on the other guy.
On the
guy with the elf.
What is he playing?
Fantasy, dude.
It's fantasy.
No, I know, but what kind of game is this?
I would say to hold off for now, John. I would say to hold off. Show a little restraint. He might want you to try to do that. You got to be a step ahead. Just show some restraint. Everything will work out in the end. Cousins at QB with Cook and Rudolph, or go with Brady when he has Sanu.
Cousins.
Brady against the Eagles. Yes, Sanu.
Denver. I don't know if I'd go Cousins against Denver.
Philly's secondary stinks, man. Go Brady and Sanu.
Yeah, don't they? They actually have, like, they're one of the worst against the pass.
Yeah, go with Brady.
Yeah, probably so.
George Vall wants to know, is Garoppolo trustworthy enough to pick up off the waivers
He's
for a bounce back
against
the Cardinals?
He's going up against the worst defense.
Last time he played the Cardinals, he had 4 touchdowns.
The Cardinals are 32nd in terms of defense. So,
Cam, you got to turn left ready for to preview Homestead?
Yeah.
Let's preview Homestead next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
All right. While we're still under a caution, I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car.
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Even out there, are you? be scared of the competition. I'm just as poor and stupid as you. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to go first, and I'm going to turn to the left again.
Can we just get back to the subject of racing, please?
Hell, bring it on, Danica.
Son of a bitch just slammed into me.
No, he didn't slam into you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Dude, check it out, Kenny. My very own NASCAR. Oh, kill, huh, Kenny? Beep, beep.
There's only one good thing about coming to these races. The vibrations from the cars. Oh, I love this car. It's mine. Oh.
Vroom, 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 vroom. I love NASCAR.
All right, last prediction edition of Turning Left, Can-Cam Black. Pick the champion. Cam, we're in Homestead, last
we're
race of the year.
Homestead, Miami. It is the last race of the year. This is all or nothing right here. Like, we have the top four drivers. We're like Truex, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch. Those are the contenders right there, right now, going for this championship. Miami's been the last race of this NASCAR season since 2004. They're actually moving it to March in 2020. So this is the last time that Miami is the final race. So they're trying to go out with a bang, big time race. It's a you know, traditional half mile, 1.5 mile track.
I'm a little confused. So Cody, you might know the history around this a little bit more. No offense to Cam. How is Miami received as a NASCAR town? It seems like a really weird place to have, like, your NASCAR championship.
I don't know why they do it there.
I mean, I get that. I guess they do it because it's probably the warmest place in November.
Yeah, that's probably got something to, I guess, something to do with it. But I don't know, because they run cold races late in the season too.
Okay,
it's kind of weird.
Is it like? Is it a good attended race and everything? Like, do Miami fans gravitate towards NASCAR? It seems like a really weird thing to have there.
I don't think so. It's actually, it's actually a little north of Miami, I think.
Okay.
But it's in that area. I don't know. That NASCAR has a presence in Florida, you know, because Daytona is there. Obviously, they do two races at Daytona a year. So the east coast of Florida is something that NASCAR is, it's kind of where it was born. At Daytona, when they used to drive on the dirt down there. So
okay. All right, Cam, get back to your preview. Sorry.
But, yeah, no, it's a 1.5 mile oval. It's actually a traditional oval. It's not dog-legged like a lot of them, so drivers are going to have to adjust to that. But, yeah, it's big race, championship, everything's on the line. I think who was it was the favorite?
Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I think he was the favorite again.
He always
him
is.
Or Harvick. But, yeah, they were up there. But, yeah, it's those four drivers. Whoever finishes highest gets the win. So we'll see how that goes.
So there's no advantage in the last week. It's just whoever finishes highest wins.
Yep, it's just straight one race for all the money.
Do you think there's an advantage for Denny Hamlin, like, having to win last week to get in, or for the other guys who have – you know, who won the earlier two races and got to maybe take last week off and just tinker their car and build the perfect car for Homestead?
I think rust? There is kind of like a momentum factor, because I think the confidence, it's kind of showed a
like
little
a
bit
week.
This season.
I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, like, if you clinched your spot 2 weeks ago, you didn't really have to race last week. You could just focus on
getting ready for Homestead.
Getting ready for Homestead and just finishing the highest there, like being an automatic qualifier.
I'm guessing the cars are probably already built beforehand.
But yeah, or
I
just whatever, like strategically planning, or I don't know if there is that in NASCAR or not.
Yeah, I know they test like similar tracks to try to replicate what it's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have.
I mean, Denny Hamlin had to go all out last week is what I'm saying, and I don't know who won the race the 2 weeks before.
It was Harvick or
There was two races before with automatic qualifiers.
It was Truex, Harvick.
Yeah, it's like Truex and Harvick could just kind of chill and like, hey, it's all about Homestead for us.
Yeah.
It's all about the championship. I don't know if that has an effect in NASCAR.
It wouldn't, like other sports, so I'd imagine NASCAR would as well. Just like, hey, get ready for that.
I think the confidence does play a factor. But, Denny Hamlin actually does have the most wins of the active drivers competing here or in the championship. He's won twice at this track. But I don't think he's going to win this week.
Oh, so you're not going with Hamlin.
No, I actually have Truex winning the championship. Wow. I think Martin Truex is going to get it done. He's been the best racer this year. I think he has the most wins on the season. I got him, followed by Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, and Joey Logano is my top five. Yeah, I think Martin Truex Jr. is going to get it done. He finished second in this track last year. Joey Logano beat him out for the win. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance and get that second championship in 3 years.
On my bookie right now, all four guys basically even odds, like, or even with each other. Plus 250, plus 250, plus 260, plus 260. So it's going to just basically a four-sided coin flip. Like, they're just...
Harvick, Busch, Hamlin, and Truex.
Yep. Harvick, Busch, Hamlin, and Truex.
I'm going with Harvick.
I guess this is a huge week of qualifying, right?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, this is a big week.
So yeah, where you start.
The pole racer has only won this race twice, though.
Okay.
All time. And I think the last time was in, like, 03?
Yeah, this is a really boring track.
I don't think you have to worry about being on the pole or anything, but you don't want to be starting, like, in the back.
Yeah.
You just want to avoid disaster for qualifying and get in the top 15 somewhere.
You got 400 miles to make it up, but the only place you really want to start in the back is Daytona or Talladega. Avoid the big wreck. You can get to the front quickly at those tracks.
Hour two in the books. We'll kick off three with headlines. CM McClure about to give it to you. Stick with us.